You're listening to Footy Roundup, Rob Serjanik and Matt Tidcombe. In the first half of today's show, we're going to be discussing Champions League and Europa League. And in the second half, we'll be going through the big four leagues in Europe, as well as Matty, our ever-growing in popularity studs and duds segment.
I think that's what people tune in for these days.
Yeah, that's the main thing, right? I guess the same as last week, Matt. Why don't you get us caught up with a quick little bit of MLS news?
Yeah, so TFC had a preseason game. They beat HB Køge. It's a Danish team. My Danish accents aren't always the best.
Not Cruz Azul this time?
Not, unfortunately not. No Batman references, even though we just created a Batman reference out of nothing. Osorio scored the lone goal in the 53rd minute. I think, I should say TFC had two games this week. This was the first of which. And TFC basically, overall, played a full-strength side here. You got Bendik, Creaville, Request, Caldwell, Morrow, Bradley, Cheru, Giovinco, Osorio, Lovitz, and Jose Altidore. So
that's as close as you get to a full roster, say, for a player here or there.
Yeah, exactly, right. I mean, that's pretty much... I'd be shocked if that wasn't really what we see in Vancouver.
I don't think Crivelli's going to start, though, do you?
Pardon?
I don't think that Crivelli's going to start, though. Maybe
Hagelin. Maybe Hagelin, yeah. Who actually came on for him as a sub in the 70th minute. So, yeah, I'm curious to see what this Eric Zavaleta guy does, a young defender. He came on for Perquet after 78 minutes, so a little run out for him. I mean, he's not going to be the guy who starts every week for sure, but I'd be curious to see what he can do. But yeah, I think this would be pretty much the side we see, you know, moving forward. I mean, maybe Robbie Finley for Daniel Lovitz, maybe. And I think Colleen Warner will spell Benoit Cheru at times. But for the most part, this is pretty much what we're going to get used
to seeing.
They
seem pretty committed to having Osorio on the wing as well.
Right, yeah, they do. And I mean, obviously, the fact he scored.
Yeah,
kind of.
I mean, there's not exactly
that,
a lot of options, a dearth of people capable of playing wing for TFC right now.
Not really. So. I mean, you got Lovitz, Jackson as well, you obviously have as well.
Who I know you're very fond of.
Yeah, geez.
Maddie's version of Steve Caldwell for me, basically.
I think that's basically exactly how it is. Robbie Finley, I think you'll see play on the wings a little more. And then, actually, in TFC's second game, they lost to the Oklahoma City Energy 1-0. And again, they played pretty much a full-strength side. The only change is this time we saw Mark Bloom play, which actually could also be the guy who replaces Juan Crivel at right back, which actually, now that I think about it, probably makes the most sense for them.
Two thoughts on that second result, Matt. Who is that opponent? I have
absolutely
no idea.
Obviously some NHL team or something.
How do you lose to this opponent?
Well, that's just worrying, especially when you play a full-strength side, right?
I mean, it is preseason, so they probably don't really care, but I mean, even
but
not
you
really
caring,
caring, you should win this game.
Because... like, it's, what is the date today, Rob? It's February 23rd. The season starts in 2 weeks.
Yeah, 10 days or whatever.
Whatever it is. So maybe they should start. I mean, they obviously did win that first game against HB Køge, but then to lose to this OKC team is disappointing when they played a full-strength.
It's a strange one. Even if they're not fully showing up and even if they're starting half their guys, you should be winning that game. Like,
exactly.
Without any question.
They did take off. Now I look at the lineup here. They substituted the whole team on the 56th minute. So a couple of other guys came in. Chris Konopka came in goal. Ashton Morgan got some playing time, as did Marco Delgado, who's a new acquisition. Jay Chapman, Bright Dyke, Luke Moore, and Lovitz also came on. A couple of other guys too. So, they played their full-strength side in the first half and couldn't crack this side,
yeah.
Which, you know, does happen in soccer, but I think it's a disappointing result to lose this game, but...
It's
only preseason, I guess.
A slight warning sign. I wouldn't say it's something to completely lose your mind over, but at the same time, you know, if there's early season struggles, you might remember this type of result where they just didn't show much.
Right. Yeah, you're right. I think at the end of the day, though, it's just about seeing who's doing what. How is Altidore and Giovinco working? You know, who's going to play on the wings, as you mentioned? Who are they going to play at right back? Is it going to be Crivello? Or is it going to be Bloom? Is it going to be Hagelin?
Yeah.
Or Zavaleta? Or whoever's going to be?
Establishing who's going to be regularly on the substitute bench.
Yeah, like, you know, how does Luke Moore come in the 60th, 70th minute and help change this game when TFC need a goal, if they need to, you know, need a bit more hold-up play? I mean, Altidore obviously provides that for the most part. But, I don't know, I think it's just a lot of learning and stuff. But, you know, you can't read too much into preseason losses to some extent, but at the same time, when you play a full-strength side like this and you lose to a pretty weak opponent, it is a little eye-opening, if anything.
Yep. Moving on to the other Canadian sides, Matty.
Yeah, Vancouver had played two games this week. They played a Portland 2 side. I don't know. It was really weird to read it, but they played a Portland 2 side, Portland Timbers, that is, and they lost 2-1. And then they also played last night against a full-strength Portland side, and they beat them 1-0. Pamuda Ka, the new acquisition for Vancouver, got the goal. I don't know what minute it is now. I've lost track of that. But the game, though, Rob, was really, really interesting because there were 43 fouls 8 bookings and 2 red cards.
Yeah, that's an aggressive contest.
It is.
For
the goal, actually, now I got it here, was scored in the 31st minute. And Rodney Wallace and Liam Ridgewell, I remember him playing for like Birmingham and Aston Villa in the Premier League, were sent off for Portland. But 43 fouls, is that's, man, you're lucky to see 4 fouls in a preseason game some days.
Yeah, that's pretty absurd.
That's absolutely outrageous.
What's kind of interesting to me, Matt, when we were discussing, you know, how much stock do you put into these results, the fact that they go out and lose to Timbers 2 and then beat, I guess we'll call them Timbers 1?
Timbers 1? Or just,
Portland Timbers? Yeah.
I think, I didn't look, I looked at quickly. Yeah, it wasn't a full-strength side, from what I understand. I think it was like a B-squad versus B-squad kind of thing. I don't think for that game, who really cares for the most part? It is what it is. But just quickly looking at the Vancouver lineup since we went through Toronto, Vancouver pretty much played their full strength side for the most part. You got David Outstoud, Bisonor, Watson, Carr, as we mentioned, who scored, Jordan Harvey, Matias Alaba, Russell Tiber, Mauro Rosales, Pedro Morales, and Mane and Rivero up front.
Yeah, so, they even had Maddox and Hurtado come in as subs too.
Exactly, so right?
All the usual
and
suspects.
And Gershon Kofi came in as well. So the usual suspects for Vancouver. It's pretty much what we're going to see moving forward. Quick opinion from you, Rob. Which team looks better on paper, Toronto or Vancouver?
I think Toronto does, but I wouldn't sell Vancouver short. I mean, Vancouver proved something last year with pretty much the same roster, whereas, you know, TFC's gone over their umpteenth, makeover,
revival,
I guess, if you will.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, I would say on paper, Toronto, but so what? I said that last year, too.
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah. I was just curious. I mean, obviously, Vancouver doesn't scream at us with, you know, the big time European players, but they've proved over the last few years that they have a squad capable of
If I had to, life on the line, say who I think is going to make
you're
the playoffs, I'd probably still go Vancouver. Yeah.
Like you say,
they've stayed
all the time
together, they've grown, they're cohesive, I like their coaching staff.
You can't pick TFC so they prove something.
No,
to you,
they
right?
need to prove something for sure.
And also quickly, Montreal play Pachuca, I believe is how you say it, in the CONCACAF Champions League on Tuesday in the first leg. So that's what they've basically been working towards this week. And they actually also played a exhibition game against Cuatala, I don't know how to say that, but Jack McInerney and Cameron Porter scored twice, and Romario Williams and Blake Smith also scored. So the Impact in a bit of good form after beating Razar Ghul in the earlier last week as well.
That's good. I'm glad they stopped his attempt at world domination. So, Matty, steadily and surely, I guess, we're trending towards the start of the MLS season now, just around the corner. Do you see any hope for Montreal this year?
Not really. I think we've reached on that in the last week or two, and it's going to be a lot of learning and just young guys coming through. I don't think this year you can really peg them to do too much, but maybe next season, maybe then when you start looking at, you know, like where they're going to get like the goals from DVL and, you know, those kind of questions. So I don't see them being able
there's
to
definitely a lot of questions
too much for them this year. I think Canadian focus is obviously going to be Toronto, but I think Vancouver as well, but I think Montreal, like kind of like last season, aren't going to have too much of a interest around the country.
Yeah, Toronto and Vancouver should be right in the hunt down to the death again.
Yeah, probably. Exactly. And Montreal will be eliminated way before that.
Moving on to Champions League results from last week. Matt, I got to toot my own horn here a little bit. Shakhtar 0, Bayern Munich 0. I told you it was going to be tough for Bayern to come in there and win.
Yeah, it was a great result for Shakhtar.
Huge, yeah.
And obviously Bayern Munich as well are going to be down to, well, they're not going to have Xavi Alonso in the next round because he got
the
sent
record,
off.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's an advantage. I mean, obviously, you still got Lewandowski and Ribery. And
there's still a ton of work to do here. But, I mean, even if Shakhtar goes in and loses a 1-0, 2-0,
it's a valiant effort.
Yeah, they've really saved
face. But the thing with Shakhtar here is they could, I don't know how you want to approach this game. Do you want to try and take this all the way to like extra time and penalties? Or do you want to say, you know what, boys, let's give this a go and let's try and get an early goal, make Bayern have to score twice?
I agree with that.
And see
I would go out
up.
With the mentality of nicking that away goal and then putting all the pressure on Bayern and then just sitting on the counter. Like, as Bayern presses forward, maybe you get that second one that kills them.
Well, you've got the best player in the Champions League this year on
goal
your team, right?
Wise, yeah.
So why wouldn't you, you know, try and get him a goal up front?
You're talking Luis Adriano, right?
Yeah, I am. Yeah, that's exactly what I'm trying to think of, yeah. So, I mean, why wouldn't you try and nick a goal of him and, you know, then sit back and try and defend it.
They've shown they're more than capable of staying compact at the back, too, and holding on to,
yeah, they haven't conceded
to
many
something
goals.
When they need it.
Even in the group stage, you weren't conceding. They were scoring a lot, but they weren't conceding very much.
I mean, going in, you'd give Shakhtar, what, maybe a 5% chance, or give or take, to win this tie? I mean, they've probably...
To win it outright?
Yeah.
Or to win the game?
To win the tie.
To go through? Yeah, maybe 10 if you wanted to be a little bit more generous.
Well, maybe now you're at 20, you know? Like, it's legitimate now. Like, there's hope for the players.
There's always... I mean, the thing is, you haven't been blown out.
No.
Right? So you got a shot at this in the next round, so...
In a lot of ways, too, I prefer the holding the 0-0 clean sheet at home than 1-1. because Bayern doesn't even have the away goal on the board.
Yeah, because you got to then if you draw 1-0, you have to score.
Well, now if you draw anything at Bayern, you go through. Bayern's out. 1-1, 2-2, 3-3, 22-22.
It doesn't matter
that point.
So
Chelsea PSG, we had this one pegged as being tight, and it was just that. I guess neither of our surprise.
Yeah, not at all. PSG, for my money, dominated this game. Chelsea didn't, you know, do anything of any sort of, well, good, I guess. I mean, they defended well, I guess, but Courtois was really, really good in goal. Stopped a lot of great opportunities for PSG. Cavani scored the PSG goal. Ivanovic scored for Chelsea. The guy just keeps scoring,
it seems.
They scored in the Premier League this weekend as well. The guy, dude, just cannot stop. It's really, really weird.
Yeah, and they get so into the center of the box as a wing defender.
It's insane. Like, remember when he came to the Premier League, it was like, oh, who's this new right-back guy? And now it's like, he's probably the best goal-scoring defender in the world right now. Like, I mean, the dude is just... I mean, when I say goal-scoring, like, I mean proper goal-scoring.
Yeah,
not
just nicking a
header. Not like John Terry coming up and banging in a header. Like, this guy scores 35-yard rockets. But anyway, Chelsea had one shot that game, and Ivanovic happened to score on it. So,
at the end of the day, though, Matty, advantage result Chelsea.
Chelsea does what
Chelsea does. Yeah. It's 1-1, and I would be very comfortable with them, I think, coming away with the result required at home to win a really close tie against PSG. Maybe 1-0 in Chelsea.
Yeah, I mean, this game does kind of have maybe a bit of extra time lurking in it. Mm-hmm. You know, 1-1 draw again, and then you go to extra time and see what happens there. But yeah, I think Chelsea would have to be considered the favorites. But like I said, PSG, you know, dominated Chelsea for large portions of this game. So I don't think the difference between these two clubs is outrageous. Because I mean, everyone knows how good PSG are, right? You got, you know, Zlatan Ibrahimovic plays on PSG. Let's not forget. So, you know, I think the second leg at Stamford Bridge is going to be close because PSG have shown in this first leg that they can hang around with Chelsea. And, you know, if you had someone out, maybe if Petr Cech was in goal for Chelsea, PSG have won this game 3-1 or something. So that's, you know, those kind of things are, you know, what can turn a tie around. So
it's two ways of looking at it. It's very cliche, but, you know, the glass half empty, glass half full.
Right.
PSG did very much outplay them. It was at home, but they still didn't win.
They still didn't win, yeah.
Which is a great result. All those things are going your way at home and you're not winning. Are they all going to go your way in England and you will win?
You're right.
I don't see it. I think it's going to be close, but I'll say Chelsea goes through maybe with a 1-0 or 2-1. I could see an extra time scenario, though. I think it's certainly possible.
Yeah, and also we would be remiss to not mention, obviously, some more racial abuse in football with the Chelsea fans and the poor...
Yeah, that was sad to see.
The poor man trying to just literally go home and get on the subway. There's just no excuse. And I think Chelsea and the police in England have already highlighted 3 to 5 people. And so rightfully so, they're facing lifetime bans. There's no excuse for any of that stuff in the game.
It was embarrassing to watch, really, at the end of the day.
It's shambolic. It's unacceptable in every aspect.
Matty, Basel and Porto. FC Basel comes through with a draw. And
you know what?
They almost came through with a win.
Yeah,
Porto left it late for a penalty.
10 minutes left on a penalty from Danilo. Gonzalez scored for Basel. I'll be honest, I didn't see this game. Obviously, I think a lot of us were watching Real Madrid on the Wednesday. But, you know, I mean...
I saw portions of Basel were good from what I saw.
Yeah, so, for me, though, this is what Porto needed. You know, it's a good away. They got the away goal. They can go home now. And
they would have been a little against it if they didn't get that late penalty.
Well, exactly, right? Yeah. But maybe they can go home now and win this game.
It's almost like Chelsea's result. They kind of, you know, nicked it when, not necessarily that they didn't deserve it, because ultimately you get what you deserve very often in sports. You know, luck tends to even itself out.
Yeah.
But at the same time, man, Porto and Chelsea needed those away goals when you see those results.
Yeah, they do now, right? Yeah. So, you know, this is a good result for Basel, and they got a chance, like you say, you know, kind of like any tie in you know, two-legged football. If you can nick an away goal, you know, the pressure goes right on the home team right away.
You know what I really liked about these fixtures, Matty? All three that we talked about are still wide open.
Yeah, they are.
You necessarily wouldn't have thought that for sure with Shakhtar, Bayern, or, you know, Basel and Porto, maybe the average fan, but they're all with everything to play for, which is nice to see.
Unfortunately,
which segues us into our fourth game, where there's not much left to play for.
No, Real Madrid 2-0 away win at Schalke. Obviously, you know, this tie is over because Schalke just have no players left. Jens Klaas-Huntelaar, who started this game, who, as we mentioned last week, was borderline able to start, left after about 25 minutes of an injury, and he was replaced by Platt, who actually a young kid who's only making his, like, maybe second or third senior appearance, played really well. But at the end of the day, Real Madrid just too much class. When you don't have your best players, you don't have Julian Draxler or Farfán or Huntelaar for 20 minutes, you're asking for trouble. And
as much as it's bad for James Rodriguez and Modric being out for Real, the depth there is just a whole other level.
We're just bringing Toni Kroos and start this week. No big deal, right?
Yeah, he's all right.
He's pretty good.
He'll do something here and there.
So,
Matty's so confident, incidentally, that Madrid's going through. Before we went on air, he said, and I quote, "If Madrid loses this tie, I will eat my shoe next week on video."
Did I?
That's
Did
what
I say
he,
that?
That's what he's been told now.
Oh, well, that's what I mean. A fabrication.
Very
of a
confident
quote.
Over here.
But the second goal from
Marcelo.
Journalistic
leniency, we'll call it.
Absolutely. The Marcelo goal, though, what a strike that was. But second of all,
he hits those wonder strikes, too.
Oh, he's so really good at often. That. You know, if you're thinking about offensive players on either wing as a defender, I think you'd want Ivanovic on the right and probably Marcelo on the left. But before the goal, though, when it was still 1-0, Plata smashed the crossbar. And as the rebound came back out, I think it was Plata again or someone else, had a wide open goal, and Marcelo just creeped in and just with an excellent block. And then, what, 2 or 3 minutes later, it was 2-0. So Marcelo literally single-handedly turned that game from 1-1 into 2-0 by himself. And, you know, both ends of the field were bits of mastery, to be honest.
So, Matty, safe to say, are we both leaning Bayern, Chelsea, Porto, Madrid? Or you think PSG is going to go in and upset Chelsea?
That's the one that makes you think a little, but I'm going to still say Chelsea. So, yeah. Bayern, Porto, Chelsea, Real Madrid.
Moving on to this week's fixtures, I think without question the one, you know, the average soccer fan is most interested in, Man City Barcelona. It really doesn't get much bigger than a tie like that.
It doesn't. And after what happened at the weekend, when you got Man City winning 5-0 and Barcelona losing 1-0.
This may be a preview of not only my stud, but also my dud, incidentally.
There you go. So, you know, in terms of confidence, you know, I think Pellegrini said after Man City, this is the Man City team that will absolutely hammer Barcelona, or, you know, the kind of team that we expect to go out there and beat Barcelona.
I don't know, hammer Barcelona seems a little
I'm
much.
Not sure what the quote was, but it was a confident quote in the sense that this is a team that can go out there and score a lot of goals.
And so, Matt, like we talked about, even though Barca's been, you know, for the most part pumping in the goals, they've really not looked super convincing to me at
times.
The
Champions League, they haven't looked that great.
Even losing now at home to Malaga,
yeah, of course,
too.
Right.
Like, there's something I can't quantify that. It just doesn't feel right with Barcelona right now. When you look at all the weapons they have, to be struggling to score a goal at home against the Malaga is just ridiculous to me. I'm going to go out on a limb here and say Man City is the upset in this tie, and I think they're going to go through.
Yeah, which is weird, but yeah, man. I don't know. Let's talk about it in the second leg, after the second leg, maybe. Oh, after the first leg, I should say. See where things are. Just because, you know.
But I mean, at the start of, but a few shows back, Matt, we were talking how, you know, on paper, we thought Real and Barca are the best teams in the world.
On paper, they are.
Yeah.
But they have, well, Real Madrid have pretty much proven they are. But Barcelona, I mean, it's one loss at the end of the day. I'd have to go back and see how many games in a row they won, but, you know, they won 5-0 one week. And,
yeah, they're playing well.
You know, I mean, Suarez and Neymar and Messi is just working wonders for the most part. It's, you know, it's one game, but I think the other intriguing game, and unfortunately it's on Tuesday, so we have to pick between one of these two, is Juve and Dortmund. That's a great tie, in my opinion. Like, Dortmund have been great in the Champions League. They've won 3 straight now in the Bundesliga. They've kind of got their act together there. And Juve just keep winning, as we know. So
I'm leaning Juventus.
I'm going to go Dortmund in an upset here.
That's your upset?
That is my upset, if you can call it an upset.
I guess if you can call my Man City an upset, but right. I mean, being Barcelona, I think anyone playing Barcelona is an upset. Usually.
Plus, Dortmund have the second leg at home, which could work in their favor.
True.
So that's a really great tie, though, because Dortmund are finally kind of running into form. You've got Aubameyang, Roos, Gundogan scored in the weekend. Get these guys into form and scoring goals. They are, like, I think that 3-game winning streak Dortmund have scored, I'd have to double check, but I think it's either 10 or 11 goals they've scored in those 3 games. So they're, you know, they're feeling it right now.
I feel Bayer Atletico has the potential to
That's
be,
a great lineup,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, a good match.
Bayer Leverkusen, that is, obviously. Atletico Madrid. Leverkusen have been a little weary in their form in the Bundesliga in the last couple of weeks. When we move into Germany again, we'll see another how they did this week. But I don't know. Your boy Mandzukic scored again this weekend, and Griezmann has been great for Atletico.
Been, yeah.
So,
and they've even
this
managed
is a great
to make Mandzukic and Torres work a little bit together, which really surprised me.
Right.
I did not expect, you know, the team like that to ever go with 2 out and out traditional 9 strikers. But, you know, they're finding a way to make it work. I like Atletico in this tie.
Yeah, I think you got to pick Atletico. Well, you don't have to pick, obviously, but logically it says Atletico, but I'm going to just, for the record, say if Bayer Leverkusen win this tie, I'm not at all surprised, because they have the talent. They have the talent. It's just
a little bit more Matt Tidcombe, fence sitting here on Footy Roundup.
It is fence sitting, yeah. I know.
He covers bases, so next week it could be, I told you so, without really telling me so. Matt, I want to know right now, Bayer Leverkusen, Atletico Madrid, who wins the tie?
Atletico.
Attaboy. And back then on my side.
In the other game, this team doesn't really interest me much.
Arsenal Monaco, I'm not interested in either.
I don't really care.
It's
really
out of all of the matchups, I guess maybe other than Schalke and Madrid, the one that I found the
well,
least
now that Monaco, you know, doesn't have Rodriguez or Falcao or any of these guys, like, who really, I don't know. And yeah. Monaco are
but
fourth.
The fun part is it is Arsenal in a European tournament, so
which
that always
usually
leaves the door open.
Exactly, right? But Arsenal have been quite good so far in the Champions League, so... Monaco, because obviously we don't really cover League One too much, are fourth in the league, but they're 11 points back, and they won 1-0 at Nice at the weekend. So, I don't know. I mean, Arsenal to go through in this tie, probably pretty comfortably, to be honest.
Yeah, I'm going to lean Arsenal, too. I don't know how confident I am about them doing anything comfortably.
It's more of what Monaco offers
than what
Arsenal's
going
offer,
to do. Yeah. So we got Atletico and Monaco, Matt. We share that. You're going Dortmund. I'm going Juve. Yeah, and I guess you're going Barca, and I'm going City.
Yeah, I'll take Barcelona.
Be interesting week of Champions League to see where that.
I love European football. I love it too. I mean, I know we both have the Champions
styles
League
of ball they play to. Like when the teams compete, it's awesome.
We're gonna go into the Europa League here for a few minutes, and I love this tournament. Like I love this tournament. I love this tournament?
3, 4, maybe 5 times. Yeah, so. Not one, not two.
So anyway, some quick results from the Europa League. Everton won 4-1 at Young Boys. Romelu Lukaku scored a hat trick.
That's basically over.
Yeah, oh yeah, 4 away goals. Yeah, it's over. Young Boys actually had a really good chance to get back in this game. Stones got sent off for a professional foul. One of the stupidest fouls I've seen in a long time.
I love that expression, a professional foul.
Yeah, I know.
As opposed to unprofessional.
Exactly,
like,
right?
You got the nature boy coming with the gold knuckles.
But Young Boys missed a penalty, so that kind of screwed them a little. PSV lost 1-0 home to Zenit St. Petersburg. Hulk scored. Can't confirm whether or not a couple of other Marvel superheroes turned up in that game. Roma again drew. They just draw every game, it seems now. Jovino scored for them. Kazem Richards scored for Feyenoord in their game.
We got Gran Torino 2, Atletico Bilbao 2, leaving that one wide open for the next
that's
leg
a,
as
that's
well.
A really good second leg.
And even Dinapro Olympiacos, 2-0 at home. Dinapro, I mean, Olympiacos can pull that back at home. It's not over.
Yeah, it's not over. Yeah. But 2-0 in any sport is a really funny scoreline.
Especially
though.
In soccer. It's yeah, it's I think like, sometimes you tend to sit back and
Olympiacos score in the first half hour, and Dinipro are like, oh boy.
Yeah, you may win the tie
here
out
comes
right
an,
at that
here
point.
Comes in an onslaught for the next
I think safe
minutes.
To say that Napoli's through.
Yeah, 4-0 away when Henrique Higuain, Gabby Diani, and Zapata scored there. Wolfsburg, well, I think we should just rename Wolfsburg. Bandost is basically what they should be called now.
He only got 2 this week, though. He sucks. He's trending down.
Yeah, well, we'll see what he did in the Bundesliga this week as well. Yeah. But 2-0 over Sporting Lisbon. Ajax won 1-0 against Legia Warsaw. Best game of the week, though,
Celtic
was Celtic
Inter.
And Inter Milan.
I told you last
3-3.
Week, just from name recognition alone. And
phenomenal.
I think Inter's in really good shape here.
Yeah, they are.
3 away goals, like, you could see them get a 0-0 or a 1-1 at home very easily in Milan.
Oh, I imagine, honestly, Inter are going to win, like, 3-0 in the home leg.
But I'm just saying that's all they need.
Oh, yeah, they do. They do.
Yeah.
Yeah, they just don't
you
have
just
to
put the
avoid
clamps
the feet,
down,
right?
You know?
Heck
some
of a game,
Italian anti-football would get the job done here.
Absolutely. Celtic scored in the last minute for an equalizer, so could have been better for Inter Milan, who got goals from Shaqiri and Palacio. Rat Boy, as he's affectionately known, because there's a little rat tail. He scored twice.
Dinamo Kiev lost 2-1 to Gwingamp. I have $20 with your name on it if you tell me who or what that is.
You give you 20 bucks, mate.
But they're still good enough to beat Kiev.
Apparently. Liverpool beat Besiktas 1-0. Funny situation in this. Mario Balotelli scored a penalty in about the 83rd, 84th minute. But Jordan Henderson, who's a captain now, which is Gerrard's out injured, and he's pretty much going to be a lock to be the captain when Gerrard leaves for LA. But Jordan Henderson picked up the ball to take the penalty, and Mario Balotelli comes across and says, no, you weren't. Rips the ball right out of his arms. And, well, I think as we said beforehand on off the air, luckily he buried that penalty because... The last thing you need is a guy who's barely not scoring for your club anyway to take a penalty and then
and
miss
then
it.
And then duff it and cost them.
In a tournament where Liverpool are probably one of the favourites to win it
would
right now.
Would anything like Balotelli doing that have surprised you?
Oh, not at
especially?
All. Not at all. I wouldn't surprise you put it in row Z, to be honest. So.
Last couple of results, Matt.
Anderlecht 0-0 of Dynamo Moscow. Pretty good second leg appearing there. Also a good second leg. Sevilla beat Borussia Mönchengladbach 1-0. That's a really, really intriguing tie. I'd love to see that second leg on sports.
I like
then,
watching German and Spanish
works,
football
yeah.
go ahead.
Oh, yeah. So good.
It's very different
they're
styles,
the two best
but so effective.
They're the two best leagues to watch for style, I think.
See, I've thought for years, Maddie, that the Bundesliga is the best overall. Like, mixture of talent,
to be honest,
football, tactics. Like, I feel like, you know, the English league is a lot of, I'll kick it deep and out sprint your sprinter guy.
Right.
And then Italy is a lot of, well, I'll move my pawn over here. We don't want to, like, leave ourselves exposed. It's very defensive and tactical.
Sure.
And sorry. Spain is a little bit, you know, taka-taka, like, you know, kind of fluffing around in the midfield looking for the 1-0 here and there. I feel like Germany blends
these
styles. I love
German football.
And it's a physical league, too, Bundesliga.
It is, because you get guys, you know, you see, like you say, you get guys sent off as quite a funny, there's a few funny things that happen every year in German football. And the games are like 3-2 and 4-2 and 4-1 and 5-0 and 8-0, apparently, when Bayern Munich play Hamburg. I mean, German football is, I love German football. And this year as well, it's been the best European league by a mile.
I don't think it gets enough love.
It doesn't.
This
out
side
of the four,
continent. Yeah.
Oh, not at all. And especially even back in Europe, you know, when, you know, La Liga is predominantly on Sky Sports every week. And like, obviously the Premier League is
on
shown.
Like everything.
And, you know, Serie A doesn't have as much love back in Europe as it used to. Obviously the scandals have hurt that.
Yeah.
But
I don't think the Italian league is anywhere near what it used to be. And even in its prime, I thought German Football League was more interesting. But that's just me. I just wish the Bundesliga would get more pub and more respect.
I
think it's
too.
A case of
I
it,
think that's what
it's not televised enough.
Not to toot our own horn, but I think that's part of what we're trying to do here. It's one of the reasons we picked up this league and why we wanted to cover it, because you and I both, I mean, we both love German football, and you can't argue the fact that they are World Cup champions.
Yeah, the English shows, the Italian shows, you see those all the time.
Yeah, so, I mean, and German football is the, you know, Bayern Munich might dominate quite a lot, you know, and they do, and but, you know, you got Dortmund, Leverkusen, Hamburg,
Wolfsburg
now. Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, it's really competitive. Last two results, quickly, Rob. Fiorentina drew 1-1 away at Spurs. That says it's a really good second leg.
Yeah, this is the one, Matt, I told you last week
that
I think is going to be super tight. Yeah. I would not be surprised to see that go to penalties in Italy at all.
Yeah, same here. And last of all, Villarreal beat Red Bull Salzburg 2-1. So that's, you know, a lot of these ties, apart from Napoli and Everton's tie, these are all wide open ties, which is great. So, yeah, it's going to be a great second leg.
Yeah,
on
there's
Thursday.
Only a handful of games where you can say, you know, like maybe the Napoli one and a couple others. That
well, Napoli
4-0
and Everton 4-1. Everything else is wide open. There's only two goals max
to play
in, some
for,
of these,
yeah.
in some of these ties. So, yeah, a really good second leg's coming up.
Keeps everyone intrigued for
Absolutely.
The rest of the fixtures for sure. Just going to take a quick break here at Footy Roundup. And in the second half, we will be back covering the major four leagues of Europe. Maddie, back for segment two, the major four leagues in Europe. Let's start off with the Premiership. What caught your attention in the week that was?
A couple of drop results, but a couple of good wins as well. So kind of a mixed bag. Let's first of all start with the drop points. The first one here we have is Chelsea and Burnley. Chelsea drawing 1-1 at home with Burnley. Awful result at the end of the day, because there's really no excuse, I guess. But, you know, it's a poor result, because with Man City winning, we'll get to that in a minute. You know, the gaps.
They
the
did
gaps
steal the tie, though. I think they were losing in that contest, so it could have been truly awful.
For the Chelsea game?
Yeah.
No, Burnley equalized.
Burnley
yeah,
equalized when? Late?
Like 81st minute or something.
Oh, that is bad.
Me.
Yeah,
okay. The yeah, guy's name is game. Me, which is kind of funny. Ivanovic scored, as we mentioned in the first
as
segment.
As usual, eh?
Yeah, so 1-1 home draw for Chelsea, not good. And they had Matic sent off in the 70th minute as well, so
doesn't
they were
help.
Down to 10 men for the last 20. And
made a little bit more digestible, though, with United dropping another 3 points.
I guess, but in this big picture of the title race, it doesn't You're affect it too much.
City, yeah.
But obviously Man United lost 2-1 away at Swansea. Key and Gomez score for Swansea. Herrera got the United goal. The Gomez goal, which is funny because it came after United were just dominating this game, and out of nowhere, Jojo Shelvey let fly a rocket from about 30 yards out, clips Gomez's head and beats De Gea in goal. And United didn't generate much after. Their execution was really poor. This was a game I watched on the Saturday morning. They literally didn't seem like they could string three or four passes together. They were really poor at times, especially
United
in the second
half.
That
is a really funny team, how quickly they can get out of sync and then how they can kind of put it together and steal results too. And I guess it's just the individual quality they have
right.
when they're able to get it.
And I mean, I think the most part, I mean, after such a horrid start for United, they kind of have, you know,
settled
kind of got
it
back
yeah.
together. But Swansea is one of those tricky places to go play at. It always has been. Teams have routinely dropped points there over the last few years when Swansea have been in the Premier League. But I mean, the bigger thing for United is they've lost third place because Arsenal
won. Yeah, they
dipped
to fourth, yeah.
So they're now a point behind Arsenal. So since we're talking about Arsenal, they won 2-1 away at Crystal Palace. Cazorla and Giroud got the two goals there for the Gunners. And as we, I guess going back to the top of the table, though, Man City just crushed Newcastle. Like, obliterated Newcastle. It doesn't help when you concede a penalty after 2 minutes.
Yeah, though. City and Roma, as we discussed before, they've kind of been having the trouble of they often matched the results of Chelsea and Juve the odd time.
Right.
They dropped anything. I think that was particularly a big moment for City to really make this a legitimate race again.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, Nasri scored, Dzeko scored, Silva scored twice, and Aguero got. I mean, those are your four guys, really, at the end of the day, right?
It's got to be a two-horse race officially at this point, though.
I think it has been for the last month, really. I mean, Arsenal are... They're 7 points, they're 12 points behind Chelsea. It's a two-horse race.
13, yeah.
I mean, the question comes down to, can Man City catch Chelsea at the end of the day, right? And Man City have a tough game this week. They're away at Liverpool. And Liverpool are surging. They're playing really well now. They won 2-0 away at Southampton. It's a great result for them.
City could definitely drop some points there.
Absolutely.
Maybe a draw.
Yeah, and Liverpool, this is the kind of game Liverpool sometimes often win as well. When the big clubs come to town, the teams they know they have to beat to move up from the table and stuff, those are sometimes the teams they beat, apart from obviously when Chelsea come to town last week. Zing.
Bringing the thunder, eh?
Yeah, I know. Actually, that was one thing, going back to Europa League, was Denver Bar plays for Besiktas now. So imagine how Liverpool fans must have felt after seeing him back at Anfield after obviously he scored the goal that after Gerrard slipped in the Premier League last year.
I'd imagine not great.
But yeah, I think so. So a quick side note there. Coutinho scored an absolute stunning goal, possibly goal of the weekend in Europe.
I saw that, the bar down.
Oh, one. Just phenomenal. Yeah. Especially, if it went straight in, it would have looked spectacular. But every time it hits a bar and just bangs in, just always...
And then when it's bar and just misses, it's just so forgettable. It's a game of inches, right?
It really is, right?
Inch by inch. You got to fight and die for that inch.
A couple of other results from Saturday. Sunderland drew 0-0 West Brom, so who really cares? And Hull beat QPR 2-1. Jelovic scored, one of your Croatian boys.
Ding, ding, ding.
Charlie Austin scored. Rob, how many goals? I'm covering the page here. How many goals do you think Charlie Austin has scored for QPR this year?
This year? 6.
14.
Wow.
Second highest goal scorer in the Premier League. 14 goals, English guy. It's funny he's not getting
I knew it had to be really low or really high. I wasn't going to go like 9.
Yeah, right in the middle, right? But yeah, Charlie Austin is just scoring goals for fun this year. Also, the winner in this game just made me laugh because Rob Green is a goalie for QPR. And obviously, a lot of people know about Rob Green and what, you know, he's kind of been and done and the errors he made, especially in the World Cup against the States and stuff. So anyway, Ndoye is the guy who scores the winning goal. And Rob Green makes this amazing save from a header from about 4 yards out from Ndoye. And you're like, oh, that's the Rob Green we sometimes like to see. It's a phenomenal save. One of the saves of the season. And then the ball goes back out to the wing. Guy crosses it in, and Rob Green decides he's going to dive 4 yards to try and punch this ball clear. And this Ndoye guy just stands there and nods it in the empty net. It's like Rob Green in a nutshell. You make a sublime save, and then you try to dive at a ball that's about 4 yards out of reach.
Makes it easy, difficult, and the difficult easy.
Just idiotic. I mean, you could see his reaction. He just laid in the turf with his head in the grass. And
Matt,
went, oh,
on the topic of idiotic, you'd be remiss not to mention one Joey Barton. What else is new with that? Absolute clown.
Literally, my only reaction to this guy is, what a guy. Because you just have no words for what he does anymore. But that's,
someone like him, I don't know, man. He just seems like he's just desperate for like anger management classes or something.
I think he's
like
been in there before. I think he's had a few of them.
He got angry and stormed out of anger management.
It wouldn't surprise me, right?
Yeah, he's just so unpredictable and unstable, and you just, I don't know, everything gets made into the biggest deal with this guy. Like, when there's a foul in a game, he just goes off. And
I mean, he can be a good player if he gets his head screwed on straight, but his anger management is just out of control.
His personality is definitely not good.
Two other quick results from Sunday. Tottenham drew 2-2 at home with West Ham. Going into this game, West Ham would have taken 2 points, but they wouldn't have taken them when Tottenham scored twice in the last 2 minutes. In the last 10 minutes, sorry.
You mean would have taken 1 point?
Yeah, they would have taken a point, obviously, going in. But now, when you're 2-0 out with less than 10 minutes to go, you're not too thrilled to take a point, right? Harry Kane scored in the 96th minute with a penalty. Well, it was a penalty that was saved by Adrian, and then Harry Kane tapped in the rebound off his own miss.
Kind of hurts his potential for a stud. I mean, he did bag it, but he missed it first. So.
Wow. I mean, yeah.
Now we're nitpicking
That's
here a
very
little,
nitpicking.
But he missed a penalty, Matty. Come on. You can't be a stud when you miss the first penalty. The guy's been on fire, though. He's keeping up the goal scoring.
And
for sure.
Second of all, Leicester City, similar situation to West Ham. We're winning 2-1 away Everton. Bottom of the table. 3 points would just be phenomenal for them right now. And unfortunately, it technically is an own goal. Rob's chair. It was an own goal, unfortunately, from Matty Upson, but it was like one of those like attacker heads it, hits Upson as it goes in.
It's getting worse before it gets better here at Footy Rabbit.
I'm trying to talk about Matt Upson here, and Robbie is just
I'm now just crossing my legs
stuff.
And sitting on the floor.
But Matty Upson is someone who I've rated so highly for so long, Rob, and he's just been injured and injured and injured, and he's finally back playing now, and unfortunately scores an own goal that costs technically an own goal. It's very, very hard to call it, harsh to call it an own goal, but... Anyway, Leicester dropping 3 points there. A point away at Everton would have been phenomenal for them at the start, kind of like West Ham at Spurs, but when you have 3 points, possibly with like a couple of minutes left, it's disappointing. Also, side note, I thought about this last night. How about Esteban Cambiaso still plugging away for Leicester City?
Yeah, still kicking around.
Like how do you feel going from Inter Milan, where you've won Champions Leagues and Serie A titles and
well,
Coppa Italia?
Enjoy the football and the paycheck, because I don't know too many other places have you.
And now you're
going to
play for Leicester City?
Yeah, well... Technically still a Premier League club. Maybe he'll duff it next year when they go
well,
down.
Maybe he'll get rid. Yeah, maybe he'll get a move. But
Liverpool City, man, what's the prediction? I'm going to call 1-1.
I have no idea. All three parts of me are saying this could be a home win and away win or a draw.
Mm-hmm. Maybe split the difference and join me on Thai Town.
Maybe a draw is maybe the way to go here. Man United play Sunderland. Should be 3 points for United there, but... You know,
we said that last week.
West Brom play Southampton. Big chance for Southampton to get back on the road with a win there. And Arsenal host Everton, which is going to be a good matchup. And the other big game this weekend is actually not in the Premier League because it's the Capital One final, Rob. Your excitement must be through
yes,
the charts for this.
It's certainly what I live for. this may surprise you, but I'm going Chelsea.
Yeah, Chelsea hosts, well, I should say host Spurs. They play Spurs at Wembley. So yeah, I mean, for me, I think Chelsea will win, but I'd like to see Spurs win. I always like to see like a lower club. Well, not the Spurs are a lower club,
yeah, exactly.
But a smaller club who aren't necessarily going to win the Premier League
How
win these
serious,
trophies.
How serious do teams tend to take this tournament, Matt? Like, would you expect Chelsea to trot out an A team?
Yeah,
a
they will for the
a
final.
Team?
Yeah. Oh yeah, both teams will play a four strength side. It's usually about the quarters or the
2-1
semis.
2-1 Chelsea. I'm saying it now.
Quarters or semis is where the manager's like, oh well, you know. A trophy might help me keep my job for another year, so we're gonna go
over company in that kind of game. Right?
Yeah, exactly right. So
Nasri out for
backup goalies usually end up playing these kind of games. But I know this: these two teams play full strength sides, especially for Spurs. Right, you know they're not going to win the Premier League. They're not might not make it into Europe. You know they're on the brink right now, so Spurs would definitely be gunning out for a trophy there. So
moving along to La Liga.
Yeah, I guess we mentioned in the first segment, Barcelona losing home to Malaga, Rob.
Yeah, that one's brutal.
The goal as well was just awful. Like, ball over the top, Dani Alves decides he's going to try and pay it back to the goalie, and he kicked it about 4 yards, and the defender just rolls in and finishes it off. So
I mean, it's made worse too, Matt, especially when you consider Real Madrid, you know, cleaned up their game in Real Madrid-type fashion, a 2-0, you know,
just
comfortable,
usual.
Ho-hum. And Atletico Madrid cleaned up theirs too, 3-0 at home over Almeria.
Yeah, I think we mentioned in the first segment in the Champions League preview, obviously Mandzukic scored and Griezmann scored a pair. Griezmann's been really, really good for Atletico
good
this
signing,
year. Like, I think during the World Cup, he said he was one of my young guys to watch out for, and he's continued that, you know, with a new club here. I mean, he's been great. Real Madrid got goals from Benzema and Ronaldo. The first Benzema goal, well, I shouldn't say the first Benzema goal, the Benzema goal, ball comes in from the left. Defender tries to fly on the floor and clear it, kicks it off his goalie, and then Benzema is like 4 yards, well, not from 4 yards, 4 feet out and just taps it in. Just comical.
I scored a goal like that once in grade 6.
Show me you weren't paid like 100 grand to finish it off like Benzema was, though.
Very sure.
A couple of other results. Real Sociedad
Build my own chair weekly here on Footy Roundup, so.
Real Sociedad beat Sevilla 4-3 in a cracking game. Grimero scored a penalty for Sevilla to put them up 3-2 with 10 minutes left, but Sociedad came back and scored twice in the last 10 minutes. Finished by Prieto scoring in the 90th minute. Free header from a corner, and I mean, when I say free, I mean free. Like, he had about 4 yards of a circular radius around him of free space. So,
oh, it reminds me, Matty, at one of our year-end MLS shows when I was complaining about TFC's defending against Robbie Keane in the Galaxy game.
Oh.
Yeah, it was just Robbie Keane being Robbie Keane with 5 yards of space in a circular fashion
exactly.
All around him. Like,
TFC being TFC, right?
Yeah.
Villarreal won 1-0 against Eibar. Valencia kept going. They're still in fourth place after a good 2-1 win, away win at Cordoba. I don't know who scored there. I have it written down wrong, I think. And Athletic Bilbao beat Rayo Valencia 1-0. So, yeah, I mean, I guess looking forward to fixtures, Rob. Barcelona away at Granada. Real Madrid.
Oh, that should be an easy win, right?
Well, it's hard to say that anymore, right? Real Madrid host Villarreal. Sevilla play Atletico in probably the biggest game in Spain this week. Valencia host Real Sociedad. David Moyes has actually done a pretty good job at Sociedad so far. So, you know, props to him for that. And Almeria host Deportivo La Coruña. And Real Madrid, obviously, still top, Rob. They're now ahead by 4 points with 60. And Barcelona, 56.
Yeah, big lost opportunity for Barcelona.
Atletico are just staying in the hunt, right? They're closer to Barcelona now than Barcelona are to Madrid, 53 points. And Valencia, could see them up there.
Madrid, yeah.
You know, 50 points. You know, they've only lost 5 times this year, Valencia. So they're it's nice to see them back up there. They're playing
a little
really
bit
well.
Of a closer race in some ways than the Premiership. So
it is. To some extent.
More teams too in the discussion.
Right. There's 3 teams, but technically, how much longer do we keep Atletico in the discussion for? Right. But you know, La Liga is looking pretty good this year. So.
Very entertaining football. Moving on to Serie A, Matt. Juve doing what Juve does, I guess. 2-1 win over Atalanta at home.
Yeah, Fernando Llorente and Andrea Pirlo scored the goals for Juve there. Pirlo's goal was a nice strike from edge of the box to found the bottom corner. Pirlo's just a master, though. I mean, we don't have to sit here and sing his praises because we all know how good he is.
Plus, you just did.
I kind of did, but that's okay. Anytime you can mention Andrea Pirlo, it's always a good day, right? A couple of other results. Milan picked up a home win against Sassuolo 2-0. Bonaventura and Pazzini scored there. Pazzini's was a penalty. Roma, though, just draw City right now. All they do is draw. He drew 1-1 away to Chievo Verona. Francesco Totti scored. Yay. Always enjoy that. But then Chieda scored an own goal in the first half to cancel out Totti's opener. So Roma just dropping points.
Left and right.
They're
now,
nine points behind. Look at the table here. Roma have won 13 games and they've drawn 9. They've only lost
now
twice.
Closer to Roma than Roma is to Juve.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's still 6 points, but it's I mean, 9 draws is just.
I mean, barring a Liverpoolian like collapse, I don't.
But even
see
Liverpool were never in this position.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
for Juve.
I can't see Juve not sewing this.
Oh, not at all. This would be, and actually, well,
sign, steal, delivered. Lock it up.
Well. Technically, yeah, but there's one big game this weekend. Roma play Juve.
So yeah, make it a little bit interesting, maybe.
There's only one result here at the end of the day. Roma have to win this
1-1
game.
1-1 and Juve's fine.
Yeah.
That's
and you're probably
what's going to happen.
Probably not far off. Remember in the first leg, in the first game when Juve beat Roma, quite a lot of controversy surrounding that game in terms of penalties and all that garbage. So Roma do... I mean, there's no excuse. There's no other way around it. Roma have to win this game because this is their one chance to get it back to 6 points.
To
hope Juve can
shot.
Drop
yeah.
a point or two somewhere and Roma start winning again. So, I mean, no buts about it. It has to be a home win there for Roma. A couple of other results. Parma and Udinese was postponed, so that's obviously not a result. Lazio beat Palermo 2-1. Mauri and Kadreva scored. Fiorentina and Torino drew 1-1. Both goals there scored in the last 5 minutes. A couple of other games postponed due to weather and stuff. Sampdoria and Genoa was postponed as well. So weather was a bit of a problem in Italy this weekend. But I mean, at the end of the day, Juve stay top and Roma drop points and continue to kick around. Napoli played a day, by the way. So Napoli do have a game in hand over Roma, so they can cut that to 3 points there for second place if they beat Sassuolo on Monday.
In Italian football, you'd rather see the weather playing a factor than not paying of players. That would be a step up.
It would be, yeah. So, I mean, yeah. I mean, Parma is
just
rooted to the bottom.
Right
just
now, yeah.
You know, they're 13 points out of relegation, so they are a lock to be relegated.
Matty, the last league, Bundesliga, I guess...
A couple of quick
become...
fixtures as well, though, in Italy. Yeah. Sorry. Inter play Fiorentina and Torino play Napoli. And Sassuolo per Lazio. So there's actually quite a few good games in Serie A this weekend. Sorry, Rob.
I was just going to say, it seems par for the course at this point. Just another kind of exciting week in the Bundesliga.
Oh, lights out. I mean, we took it in the first half. Like, Bundesliga is hands down the most exciting league this year. I don't know where to start because it's just too many
games.
We'll
start
with
Bayern, I guess.
Sure.
Pounding Paderborn.
Paderborn.
And keeping their... missed the 2-point conversion this time.
They
but,
did, unfortunately.
Yeah, had to settle for the 6-0.
Yeah, couldn't quite get that extra point.
And, you know, to their credit as well, Matt, looking a little ahead, Hamburger bouncing back with a 1-1 draw to Mönchengladbach after just, you know, getting their faces stuffed by Bayern. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nice to
yeah,
see.
Exactly, right? Just for Bayern Munich, Lewandowski and Robben scored twice. Ribery scored and Weiser also scored. I wonder if his first name's Bud.
maybe he'll be wiser for it.
Maybe he will be. And as you said, Hamburger drew 1-1 Mönchengladbach, but Hamburg would be disappointed because Mönchengladbach got a 90th plus minute equalizer from Hergada. But Borussia Dortmund, as we mentioned, are now on a three-game winning streak. They won 3-2 away at Stuttgart. Really good result for them. Aubameyang, Gundogan, and Marco Reus got the three goals. Aubameyang's was a really clinical finish, actually, from inside the box.
Matt, you have one really unique final listed in your notes here. Wolfsburg 2 final.
Yeah, I, for some
I'm
reason...
they played somebody?
For some reason, the I don't know, it cut off when I printed it. Well, when I sent it to you to print. So, but they beat Hertha Berlin. That's who they beat. 2-1. And when we say Wolfsburg, we mean Bastos, because who else would score? He scored both goals, as usual. Dude,
he's insanely hot.
Best player in Europe right now. Best player in the world right now. In terms of
the last couple
of
weeks,
fire.
For sure, yeah.
He's got 12 goals in the last 7 games. I mean, that's. I think that's pretty
something
good.
When you consider Harry Kane's production of late.
Exactly, right? Yeah, and I mean, Bastos is blowing everyone out the water. I mean, kind of, you know, we mentioned last week Marco Reus on the new deal at Dortmund. Be curious to see what Bastos is here. We have to find out maybe what his contract situation is, but our teams, you know, are Real Madrid going to come in and try and buy this guy, or Bayern Munich going to try and buy this guy?
I think, Matt, that'd be fun to discuss and look at on next week's show. A, his contract status. B, you know, our initial valuation of what we think he could get and where he could go if he keeps up the scoring prowess. It might be worth a discussion.
Absolutely. And, you know, he like I say, he's the best player in Europe right now. And, I mean, but also, you know, why in a way would you want to leave Wolfsburg? You're second in the table. You might not catch Bayern Munich this year, but you keep Bastos and you've got Kevin De Bruyne. And
as a player, though, sometimes, you know, the cities, the Chelseas, the Barcelonas with their money and prestige, they don't come calling all the time. And if you want to, you know, end up that point in your career, you got
to
take it.
This is what I'll say. Wilfred Bony to Man City. He played at the weekend, didn't score, but that's how I see a move for this kind of guy working out.
Oh, I agree. I'm not a fan when they do it. I just know
that's why
that
I
they usually go and
that's
do
why
it.
I love that Marco Reus stayed in Dortmund. And I think
like I told you,
I imagine
Totti
he'd stay
a little
there.
Bit.
Yeah, exactly, right.
Like Totti could have moved on something bigger than Roma.
Oh, he had plenty of offers over the years to leave, like 5-6 years ago. He had plenty of offers to go everywhere, basically. He could have picked where he wanted to go. But I, you know, we'll figure a couple of stats out on him next week, but I would be shocked if he ever left Wolfsburg for any
time
soon.
It's time for him to get capped, too, on the national team as well.
Oh yeah, absolutely right. A couple of other results. Schalke drew 1-1 with Werder Bremen. And the best goal of the weekend came in the Augsburg-Bayer Leverkusen game. Augsburg 2, Leverkusen 2. Dermich and Reinhardt scored for Bayer Leverkusen. But Marwin Hitz scored for Augsburg. Now, for those of you who don't know, that is the goalkeeper. The goal he scored in the 90-plus minute to bag Augsburg a point. That's a big point for Augsburg because they stay, you know, in that contention.
I think he shot it from his goal line and then it bounced over the keeper's head like in FIFA, right?
Oh, yeah.
That's exactly
or he scored
200 yards.
Or he scored a volley from 4 yards out.
Okay.
So,
that's my second guess.
But, yeah. But, I mean, as a goalie myself, and I scored one career goal in my whole entire life. So, it's I don't know. When you're
playing, like Benzema's?
No, it was not very good. But
neither was Benzema.
But anyway, I mean, goalie scoring is always...
it's always notable.
It's always
sure.
fun, right? I mean,
call it the Marty Brodeur, if you will.
Yeah, I mean, there have been some fantastic goalie goals over the years. I can't remember his name off the top of my head, but the goalie for Carlisle. I don't know if you know this story, but I don't know. How many years ago is this now? 6 or 7 years ago, Carlisle in League 2, which is the fourth division of English football, about to be relegated to the conference. Goalie comes up and scores an equalizer, which keeps them in the Football League, which is probably the biggest goal in, like, goalie scoring goal in English football. So
yeah, you see, I mean, internationally, Jose Chilavert used to score a bunch of goals.
Was that the
goals.
Paraguay guy?
Yeah, but yeah. I was just trying to remember if it was Paraguay or Ecuador, and I believe it was
Paraguay.
And he was very often their penalty
and
even
free kick
set
taker.
Shot
yeah.
specialist. Yeah.
Was that the guy? I think, was he the guy who scored like 100 goals, career goals? There's some goalie down in South America who scored like 120 career
It probably
goals.
Is him.
There's
I know
few
he scored a high number.
Yeah, because like there's a few goalies 50. In South America that have a tendency to bag open play
I'm just
goals.
Thinking like, you know, you trot all the way down there, set yourself up, ball hits the wall,
and
now
just
it's just an
bang
Usain
it down.
Bolt sprint back to the other end of the field. Probably not going to make it there, Jilly.
A couple of fixtures in Germany this week. Bayern play Köln just to see what they're up to. Dortmund host Schalke. That's going to be a good game. Bayer Leverkusen play Freiburg. Mönchengladbach play Paderborn. And Wolfsburg travel to Werder Bremen. So really, really good matches here. I mean, just quickly looking at the table. Bayer Leverkusen, you know, 80% chance got the table sealed. Wolfsburg have clearly got second sealed. But then third place through sixth place, you got 4 points separating four teams. Mönchengladbach, Schalke, Augsburg, and Bayer Leverkusen. And for those who are wondering, Dortmund, who were bottom of the table 3 weeks ago, are now 7 points clear of bottom. and 3 points clear of the relegation zone after winning three straight. So
Dortmund's picking it up a little bit.
Back to the Dortmund we know, and like I say, scoring goals as well. I mean, conceding a few goals, but it doesn't matter when you score more at the end of the day and when picking up 3 points.
My last few moments of the show now, studs and duds. I believe last week I went first, so we'll lead off with you this week. Who is your stud?
My stud is Wolfsburg / Bastos.
Just got a little name drop in
just because, right? You know, Wolfsburg scored 4 goals this week. Bastos scored all 4 goals, but they picked up 2 wins, obviously, in the Europa League and then kept pace in the German League. Wolfsburg are possibly one of the hottest teams in Europe right now. Well, not possibly, they are one of the hottest teams.
Wolfsburg to keep your eye on. And they've really stayed in the hunt.
The signing of Andre Schürrle from Chelsea, obviously.
They signed an entire team? That's pretty
good. Yeah, I know. It's pretty good. half of them are injured if they signed a Schalke team.
Yeah, I still don't know that they'd catch Bayern doing that. But.
But yeah, I mean, Wolfsburg on fire. Bastos just on fire. It's an easy stud this week.
My stud is Man City and their 5-0 win over Newcastle, made even bigger by the fact that Chelsea drew with 1-1 with Burnley. So it's kind of making the Premiership a legitimate battle again now with them nipping at the heels. I think, like we discussed, it looks like United and Arsenal aren't legit contenders this season.
No.
I have an honorable mention as well, I guess a 1A, 1B. Shakhtar Donetsk for tying 0-0 at home with Bayern. Huge result for them, and just keeping their hopes alive into the next leg. It's not wrapped up yet, and you know the ball's round and anything can happen.
Absolutely. My dud this week is Man United losing at Swansea.
That hurt you to say, didn't it?
Well, I don't know. I mean,
you're over it.
Accepted the fact United aren't winning the league for about 4 months now, so it's all good. And also, you know, obviously United losing, and a quick dud as well. This is the one that does hurt, to say that Roma, obviously, drawing again and just dropping points and in the league, and obviously they got a tough away game now against Feyenoord to get through in the Europa League.
My dud, without question, Matty, Barcelona 1-0 loss at home to Malaga. They entered at the match 1 point behind Real Madrid for first place in the Liga. Now dropped to 4 points back as Madrid beat Elche away 2-0. Terrible result for Barcelona. Not even to at least, even a draw is really, really bad here, but at least you're, you know, just 3 points and one win behind.
Correct.
Now it's, you're opening that multiple point gap there. It's going to be tough. I mean, it's doable. I'm not sure if that Atletico play Real again, because I know that Atletico tends to, you know, pick
beat
up
both
results
of those
against
teams.
These teams. So maybe it might reopen it and re-tighten things up. But, I mean, all Real has to do from here on out basically is hold serve less 3 points and they're safe.
Yeah.
So I think it's really Real Madrid's title to lose at this point.
It is, even though it's only 4 points, as you mentioned. But, you know, I mean, this late in the season now, you're less down to a third of the season. So you control your own destiny, right?
Yeah, 100%. So. That's it for today. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week.